Not long ago, in fact, it was a Sunday on which we celebrated our first Holy Communion for this parish and shrine, the external feast of Corpus Christi. So it may be maybe 2 months, maybe most likely less. We had a similar gospel about a different but yet similar situation. And of course, it's always known as the multiplication of loaves. In this case, we have from St. Mark. And of course, St. Mark's is shorter. St. Mark always writes shorter. St. John and St. Luke, longer. And while there are some who, not knowing the truth, the dogmas of the faith, of our religion, say that it's all the same episode told by different evangelists, it is not so. They are different episodes. If you recall, the one in May or June was 12 baskets. And it's not just symbolic, which it is, but it is a different situation altogether. They had 2 loaves and 5 fishes. Here, it doesn't necessarily say how many. But they said 7 loaves. And he did that which he came to do, that which he taught us, and especially those who are called to the priesthood, succeed in this reality. We are ordained to give thanks, gracias agere, to give thanks, eucharistoi, because the Eucharist is the giving of thanks to God for all his blessings, which are innumerable. But he had already announced it in the 6th chapter of St. John. Here, it's a little bit later, but he uses a different way of doing it. It is a different occasion. So he gives thanks over the fish and the loaves. And then he has everyone sit, and they are fed. I always find it amusing, at least in the Latin, our Lord says, they have put up with me for all these days. And of course, for those who want short sermons, you need to go back to this gospel, to the gospel of the external feast of Corpus Christi. Our Lord did not preach, you know, the ideal Francis 5-minute sermon. That doesn't even happen here on weekdays, so forget it. So, he says, they have sustained me, they have put up with me for so long. See, he knew, he wasn't stupid. And I hope that none of us are stupid either. That is, of us in the papacy or the bishopric or the priesthood. And for those deacons who are called upon to preach, which they are, for them too. So we need to speak the truth, whether it's a short truth or a long truth, whether it takes a long time or a short time. So our Lord knew. So he knew they were tired, and boy, were they hungry. So he gave thanks. He blessed the bread and the fish. And they all ate. And in this case, unlike the other, there were 4,000 men. Again, remember, only the men were counted. the women, the children, the servants, the slaves who were there also were not counted. And so if it was 4,000 men, it was probably 20 or 30,000 persons from 7 loaves and just some fish. And they had yet leftovers, plenty of leftovers. And they all ate and were filled. They were stuffed, like you are at Thanksgiving. But you need to be careful not to do that. Gluttony is a sin, a serious sin. And of course, our Lord, by doing this, is foretelling, as he very clearly announced in John chapter 6, the longest chapter of the New Testament, the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of the Mass, which we are so very blessed to celebrate, so very blessed to serve for those who serve, so very blessed to sing for those who sing, so very blessed to be here for those who are just here, but hopefully not just sitting your behinds on the pews. And I deliberately, when we had the pews refurbished 20 years ago, they said, oh, you want to put cushions in the pews? I said, no, we are Catholics. We need to do penance. And some people have said it to me since. I said, no. You will do penance. I have to do penance, so you too. So our Lord fed them. He blessed them. He foretold in action, though here St. Mark doesn't say anything about it, the gift of the Eucharist. And in so doing, of necessity, he foretells the gift of the priesthood. You know, sometimes I'm running a little bit late, especially nowadays. I've slowed down a lot in the last couple of months with all this pain that I have to bear. If you only knew, you would be crying out loud. So it slows you down. You can't do as much as I used to. I want to, and I hope to again. But I always say to the acolytes and the sacristy, no priest, no mass. So if they want a mass, they're going to have to just put up with it. If we're 2 minutes, 3 minutes late, who cares? It's worth it to have to wait for the most important thing that we have on this earth. And today, in a very special way, I want you to pray for vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life. We have so many in this parish, some which are already about to be ordained or have been ordained, or some who are just beginning the trek that hopefully they will finish. Because just because somebody enters the convent or goes to the seminary does not mean that they're going to be a priest or a nun. When I entered the seminary at the very tender age of 13, and boy, did I have my eyes opened. I never seen so many things like that before. I forget how many there were of us, about 20 or 30, and only 4 were ordained. And of course, I went to Rome, thank God. I wanted to go to Econ, and His Excellency said, no, you have to go back and wait for us so that you can welcome us back. But I'm still waiting. And I will be dead. Maybe I'll be welcoming them back from the tomb, which is just fine by me. I look forward to my poplar coffin, which is so beautiful. Unfortunately, I won't enjoy it too much. But that is the way it is. So just because one enters doesn't mean that one succeeds in one's enterprise. So we not only pray for vocations, for those who wish to enter, for those who enter, we also need to pray for perseverance. If at the very last, first thing we quit, then we're worthless. worthless, and you think you're going to get a reward for that, not without a tremendous amount of suffering, a tremendous amount of penance. So we need to pray for vocations, not only that they answer the call, that they recognize and answer the call, but we need to pray for perseverance. It's a very difficult thing. I know you have heard me say that there has been very few days in my life since I was ordained that I haven't thought, oh, I wish I could quit. Because putting up with you people is no fun. And then putting up with the bureaucracy in the American quote-unquote church is even less fun. But that's not why Christ called me to quit. He called me to follow. If you wish to be part of me, to have eternal life, follow me. So we need to pray for all our vocations, that they will persevere and that they will follow, that they will accept the sufferings, the penance, the privations, the loneliness, the rejections, the distance from loved ones, whatever it is, and persevere. Persevere all the way to the cross, just as Mary did. She stood by the cross. Let us follow her and all the wonderful saints whose feasts we celebrate in these holy days. Every day in the Catholic Church has many, many saints, most of them martyrs. And so let us follow them and let us be part of heaven as God wants us to be. Persevere. Follow me. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.